Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture with my co-host, Michael Rakia. And if you're not familiar with his work, get over to josephspeaks.com. I highly recommend every one of his books, and that's something you won't hear me say about any other author. Today, of course, we'll be talking about his latest book, From Here to Infinity, and we've got lots of questions for Michael, so let me say good morning to him. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. Great to be back with you.
Always a pleasure to have you back, and for my audience that went into a panic, Michael said that he'll still be doing the show next year, so no need to go into a panic.
Not at all.
Well, you know, this show is a breather for myself and the audience because we take a break from, I don't even know if we want to call it the real world or not, but, you know, talking about what really matters, which is our spirituality. As I've always said, it's the only ticket out of here. Michael, before the show, I decided, because I was thinking about Joseph and in his earlier books, talking about how this field is finite. It's not something that's going to last forever. So I went in, and especially with all the latest stuff going on in the news, and I actually punched into a Google search engine, where are we on the doomsday clock? Because the doomsday clock is kept by scientists to give us an awareness of real and present nuclear danger. And I see we've ticked up a few minutes from 5 minutes to midnight to 3 minutes to midnight.
So
I said, well, I guess I'll have to ask Michael, where are we at on the field?
Strangely, I was sitting with David, one of the members of the Band of Light, last week. I was sitting with him because there's perhaps a theme that's going to come out tonight, Maria, because I picked up, Jane and myself had gone to a hotel, we'd gone to see Roger Moore, who was talking at a theatre, and he was great, but the hotel room didn't seem right, and when I came back I felt rather heavy, and the energy which I've been sort of gaining for the past few weeks was going again, and I knew something was wrong, so I sat with David. And we found that there was a lady who was in the hotel room, in the spiritual realms, not in the physical realm, who was angry with men, and she was angry with God. And the reason she was angry with men and angry with God is because she'd had two children who had died in a car crash. And I rather suspect that she died in the car crash too. Now, the man who was the object of her anger must have stayed in that hotel room at some stage. And she'd gone along with him, as it were. I'd gone in there, and she'd attached herself temporarily to me. To cut a long story sideways, two guides came to move her on into the light. And one of the guides said to me, the field is contracting at the moment. It is becoming smaller. We've told you, and it's a parallel, because you just said that it's a finite field, and he said exactly the same thing. It's a finite field, and it is contracting because of the negativity that is within it at this time. He said it's becoming more difficult for us to get through, to maintain the light in order to communicate. And so he was urging the transmission of light more than ever at this time. And it makes sense. If you've got a balloon and you fill it with air, and then you jump into the balloon and you tie up the top of the balloon, you can only breathe for so long. And instead of linking to God energy, to light energy, we're linking to the inside of that dark balloon, negative energy. And so, yes, I would agree that the doomsday clock is a little closer to midnight than it was. But I think that's a rallying call. I don't think that's a reason for saying, well, there's nothing we can do. I think that's a reason for saying we need to do what we can do more strongly, more vehemently, and to send light out at any given opportunity.
Well, could that be the reason why so many people are feeling hopeless and depressed?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Because we're not connecting. There's another link. It's funny how things work out, isn't it, Maria? This morning, a friend of mine emailed me, and he was in a state. He'd got angry. He produces toys. And he'd got angry with the licensor of the toys, who had done something behind his back which he didn't know about. And he was furious. Mm-hmm. And from the time that email came in to the time that I could deal with it and realize where it had come from, I couldn't think. Huh. I couldn't work properly. I couldn't think. My energies went down because we transmit. And we're not aware that if we're angry, we're not angry in isolation. If we're depressed, we're not depressed in isolation. We affect all the people around us. And so, yes, it is why people are feeling so depressed and so down, because they are linking in to everybody else that's around that's feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. But we have to be brave, and we have to be strong, and we have to be beacons for the light to change that state of affairs. To say, my old spiritual teacher used to say, some days you almost have to hypnotize yourself. You almost have to say, look, I feel down, I feel depressed, but that's not the way I'm going to be. Everything's fine, everything's great, I link into God, I link into light, and your mood does change. Mm-hmm. So now more than ever, particularly at this dark time of winter, it's important that we do that for some a period of time on a daily basis. And it will lift our moods, it will change the way that we feel. And then we'll be the ones who are sending emails out, and people will be feeling better, not worse, because they receive them from us.
Exactly. Well, that's a very interesting, because I had a wave of that flash over me this morning before our show, and I was like, what's this? Why am I feeling like this? This, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Where's this? I was like, where's this crap coming from? So I immediately went in, and I lit some sage, and I said my morning affirmations, and then I just went outside, looked at the sun, talked to it for a little while, and then I was okay. So, you know, people still don't understand that as long as we're here on this planet, that old adage, we are, the earth is our mother and we are one, matters.
Yes.
You know, so whatever's happening on the earth, we all feel it. And maybe it was the Republican debate that put everybody in a bad mood. Maybe that shrunk the field all by itself.
He actually showed me an image of the world as a globe, and then a black circle around it, a black globe encircling it, and the black circle encircling it getting tighter to get across his image of the field constricting, contracting. And so we've got to put light into it now more than ever. As you say, we've got to go outside. We've got to count our blessings, count the people we love, count the situations that are important to us, count the health that we've got. Count the connections we've got, friendships that we've got.
Exactly.
A friend of mine from France that I've never met emailed me today and offered help, any help. You know, he knew that my mum had gone this year, that there'd been a funeral, and he offered help. Never met him. And you feel so elated. And friendship is one of the greatest treasures that we've got spiritually. We must value our friends, and we must value the time that we have with them. And in doing that, we spread the light. And we make them feel better.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was rereading parts of From Here to Infinity. And in several places in this book, you say the way back to God will always be through a circle.
Yes.
And as a teacher of the medicine wheel, which is another thing, I have two huge ones outside my door that I go and look at and talk to. And it reminded me of the very first time I saw the medicine wheel after I had been searching for something that made sense on a spiritual level. And I have to tell you, as soon as I stood outside that circle of stones, my body just started vibrating.
Yes.
So it does, you know, it does change your life, and it's interesting. And I'd like you to expand a little on what do you mean the way back to God will always be through a circle?
Joseph describes God, if we're looking for a symbol that illustrates what God is, and of course it's difficult to have a physical symbol for something, for someone, for a creative force that exists in so many different dimensions. But God always, Joseph always brings through the image of the dot within the circle, and says that the nature of God is circular. God gives out from the circle. You journey along the outside of the circle, and then you meet yourself at the point at which you set out on the journey. This is how he describes life. He also says that God is not outside, although we see God manifest in the physical world, but God is within. God is that point at the center of us. If we go inwards, there is another circle, isn't there, in the heart center. Mm-hmm. And that is where God resides. That's where we reside, symbolically, as part of God. And so, talking about circles tonight and about the greater circle that is contracting, we don't go outside of that circle, as it were, to look for light. We go within. There is this bubbling fountain, this everlasting fountain of light within us, at the point at which we connect with God. Joseph also says that God in his nature is like a pulse. God sends out pulses of energy and creation. So you can imagine you have this core, this circle, that sends out pulses of creation outwards, rather like the expanding universe that we're living in physically, materially. Mm-hmm. And then after a time, God pulls back to himself that circle of energy and sends out another beat. It's rather like a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's any coincidence that our hearts work in the way that they do. I think they mirror the God that we are a part of. So there is a circular nature to everything that is God. And God encapsulates everything as well. We are encapsulated within this circle of creativity that is God. Mm-hmm. So there is this rhythm from God, inwards, outwards, creativity. And we are sent out as angelic beings, the true beings that we really are. We're sent out within these circles of expanding and contracting energy to create, to experience, to bring new experiences back to the Godhead. But we are journeying back to God because any journey outwards from God is one to experience, and we then bring that experience back to the center, back to God. And then we journey forth again to experience other things, other dimensions, other opportunities to create and to experience. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful, magical, everlasting process. Unfortunately, from our viewpoint here, we don't see that process because we have entrapped ourselves mm-hmm. within that little circle of blackness that happened at the time of the fall, which again goes back to things that we've discussed in past shows.
Absolutely. Well, I have some questions from some listeners, too. This is from Patricia, who's read all she's read all your books. She loves all your books. She's a recovered Catholic. And she had it's a simple question, but I don't think it is. She wanted me to ask you if we're led to your books by our souls. She says, I was just wondering if we're led to these books by our soul.
Yes, Joseph has said as much, I mean, we had a very anxious time after we put the first book out because we knew that we had something that was of vital importance to mankind and vital importance to the planet. And we'd worked very hard on it. And there would be weeks when you would have one book going out or weeks when there would be no books going out. Mm-hmm. And Joseph said, don't worry, we can lead people to this book. We can lead people to the series of books. He also said that the books will become bigger by stealth. They will get out under the radar. And that's the way that we've done it. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it through a major distributor. We've done it ourselves. And we get people from all over the world saying, somebody talk to me about this book. I heard about it from a friend. I caught it on the Maria Heller show. I caught it through a podcast. And really extraordinary ways of us getting the message out. And yes, people. He said that the people who can appreciate the message and who can work with it, yes, will find it, and it will find them. And it has proved to be so over the years. Very quickly, it has got a hold and continues to expand on a daily basis. Mm. So yeah, much as you know, we were led to doing this work. The people who read the books, I truly believe, are led to those books at a time when it is right for them to consider the information.
Mm, okay, that makes sense. It kind of reminds me of my landscaper. After he did my landscaping a few times, and he's very careful cleaning up around my medicine wheels, I had given him my book on the medicine wheel. And he read it within 2 weeks, and then when he came back, he asked me pretty much the same question, Michael. He said, did your wheels call me to your property?
Yes.
And I always like to answer a question with a question. I said, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, because he sees the improvement in his life. He sees the improvement in his health just from cleaning up my property. But I told him, whenever you're not feeling well, you're welcome to just go and sit and lay down in there if you want to. Okay, I got a bunch of questions from Robert, and he's well on his journey, and I'm going to try to epitomize them, as my father would say, so hopefully it'll make sense to you. Okay. He said, the idea of a small amount of light, meaning just a few of us, that it can make a big difference. What's Joseph's view on the formation of small enlightened communities of individuals in light of the slow, steady disintegration of the global control system?
Not quite sure I've got that. I got you up to the formation of light communities.
Right. I think what his question is, the world is so deeply dark right now. Can we make a big difference if we're just a community of a small amount of light?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there is no such thing as a small amount of light. Because if you are coming from the right place, you are channeling God energy. And there is no greater, purer, more creative energy for change than God energy. You see, the point is with all the people that are immersed totally in the field, is that they are playing the field at its own game. They are not looking above or beyond the field, so they don't make the difference. We try to change things, God bless us, in so many different ways. We try to change things physically, we try to change health for the better, we try to change war situations for the better, but all of these things we are attempting to change on a physical level. And the problem doesn't exist on a physical level. What exists on a physical level is the manifestation of the problem. What we are seeing is a reflection of how we think we are spiritually, of what we believe ourselves to be spiritually. So the greatest power is not to change the material landscape, but to change, to infuse with light, the spiritual landscape. And in that way, we have great, great power because we are drawing on God power. And it is wonderful to join up and to have like-minded souls as part of your family. And there is a wonderful harmony that builds up. And as I've been talking about the books getting out by stealth under the radar, that is the way that things will change, by stealth under the radar. No one knows if you're sitting at home and you've switched off the TV and you're actually giving out light and changing things. Nobody knows and nobody cares, because all those people that are so immersed in the field that they can't see tomorrow in a spiritual way don't believe that you can do anything. Uh-huh. So they don't consider you a threat.
Right.
And so the people who are sending out light are the greatest threat for change that exists, and yet people think that we are lunatics.
Right.
We are idiots. Mm. So yes, keep on keeping on. Keep on in your small communities. And one day, all those small communities, all those pinpoints of light will join up into one huge pinpoint of light. And then we won't be having this discussion about the field at all, because the field will have reset itself to the positive, creative reflection of mankind's thoughts that it's supposed to be, and we will be back in our consciousness as the angelic children that we were that visited here before the time of the fall.
Well said. Well said. That kind of answers his second question. So let's see what else we have here. We have to consider the possibility of not being able to hold the field intact to transform her. What lies beyond if the field does collapse? Is there a parallel Earth? Is there a double duplicate Earth? Or is everybody trapped here?
Okay. The secondary message from the Joseph Communications is that you don't have to come back here. And the way that you don't come back here is by becoming aware of there being something more than this Earth. I think we've talked about in past shows people who have become trapped here and can't move on once they've died physically because they don't accept that there is anything beyond this physical existence. So in making ourselves aware of a spiritual life beyond this one, we open ourselves up to the possibility of that life, and we are in some ways prepared for it when we leave this physical world behind. We are open to that possibility. We are open to the people who will come to us and say, you know, you can come this way rather than going that way, rather than going back there. Mm-hmm. And so there are, even if the worst came to the worst, and I will refuse to the last gasp to believe that it will come to the worst until it actually, and if it actually happens. But if it did happen, then many, many souls who have become aware of an afterlife, have become aware of their spirituality, would find it an easy transition and an easy decision to make to continue onwards. Now, that leaves a lot of souls who won't have that viewpoint, who won't entertain that possibility. And Joseph says that society has ended at least twice before in the past that he can go to, that he is able to visit, at least twice before. And what happens is that those souls who don't believe in anything, who only believe in the material and have come to the end of this cycle, have nowhere to go but into another similar cycle that harmonizes with their current vibration. Mm-hmm. And so, rather than move on into an afterlife, they are placed, or they have placed themselves by their own volition, into a kind of stasis, into a long sleep, as it were, until this earth is cleansed once again, because we've done it before, mm-hmm. is cleansed of the negativity that we've put into it, is nurtured back to health, is prepared once again as the paradise that it once was, and then a suitable vehicle for the human spirit, for the angelic spirit, is found, and all those people that are in stasis have to come back to sort it out once again. Mm. You see, there's a huge question here, and it's the question of personal responsibility. Nobody can get us out except us. The Joseph information is placed at the feet of people for them to either accept or to reject. But Joseph can't do the work for them. They have to do it themselves. And all those people at the point at which, if it were to happen, society collapsed, would have to get out themselves. Not in that current end of society, but in the new society that they will be drawn back into because their vibration can't take them anywhere else at present.
Right. But people that are vibrating properly and understand to never come back here, do they go to a similar planet? Is it a physical planet like this? Or is it anywhere they want to go in the universe?
Well, there's the big question of the fall that we've talked about before at length. Once you have ended your physical existence, I could never understand, you see, Maria, when I was growing up as a Catholic, the notion of heaven. Mm-hmm. And I could never understand when I was looking at spiritualism and working as a spiritualist medium, why people thought that there were a certain number of heavens, and why the heavens interpenetrated the earth and were, metaphorically speaking, just above the earth. That didn't make sense to me. It's a big universe. Joseph explains that because of the effects of the fall on our vibrations that have pulled us down to this lower level, and we maintain them at that lower level, we have to gradually take ourselves out of them. And that the spiritual realms that we contact through mediumship and through clairvoyance are actually what he calls cleansing spheres. They are beautiful worlds, yes, but they are worlds that gradually, ever so gradually, allow us to raise our vibration above the effects of the fall, until we reach what is on the cover of From Here to Infinity, which is that trapdoor, again, metaphorically speaking. Right. And beyond that trapdoor is our return to what we were before we trapped ourselves in the effects of the fall, and that is angelic children. And then as angelic children, we can go anywhere we want. We can do whatever we want. We can create whatever we want. But there is a process that leads us away from this heavy vibration into a lighter vibration and back into our spiritual heritage.
Okay, I think that's well said. So here's another question. So far you haven't been stumped. That's a good thing. Let's see. He said, some wisdom thinkers, whom I respect, suggest that many earthly bodies on this planet, in this dimension, are soulless or simply hollow biological machines. And if that's the case, how does the idea of fallen angels to save all divine beings from this experiment fit in? So I guess what he's saying is... Are there people on this planet that don't have souls, and how does that fit into the equation?
I think there are some people that are so low in vibration that it appears that there's nothing there. And I have met people on a couple of occasions, and it's only on a couple of occasions, where you look into their eyes and you see nothing.
Right.
But I think what you are seeing is a lack of the light rather than there being nothing there at all. There has to be, if you look at a dead body, if you look at a corpse, you wonder how on earth it could have been animated in the first place. There has to be that spark of animation. Mm-hmm. And that spark of animation is the angelic child, and within the angelic child is the spark of animation that is God. So in my humble opinion, I feel that everyone in a human frame has a human soul, has an angelic origin. The extent to which that angelic origin is expressed through the physical, however, varies. Mm-hmm. Because you look at some people and you think, well, they're either dead or they're asleep. Because their angelic properties have become so submerged in materialism, in the physical, in negativity, sometimes in violence, in indifference, in selfishness, that light that is within cannot shine out and struggles to be recognized by others. But it is there, but it comes back to us, what we've just been talking about souls not being able to get away from this place because they haven't educated themselves, they haven't reconnected themselves with their spiritual heritage. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's a matter of us discovering as much. We owe it to ourselves, don't we? We can't go through life and say, yeah, we're here, and then one day we're not. That's not doing ourselves a favor. It's not doing anyone else a favor. We need to investigate. Sure, we can dismiss the afterlife if we've investigated it and it comes up short for us, but surely we owe it to ourselves and to others to investigate openly the afterlife, what's there, what's here now, and what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. And then the light will shine from all our eyes.
Well said. I think that a lot of people, and I say this a lot, you know, is that people doing nothing is still making a choice.
Yes.
And a lot of people on this planet, unfortunately, have chosen to do nothing. So after reading Your Life After Death, you don't need to be a genius to figure out where they're going after here. So I would suggest everybody reread Your Life After Death to see what room you'll be checking into once you check out of here. Thinking about that that spirit that was in that hotel room, you know, and I'm sure you know, but I want to remind people You know, when you walk into a hotel room, Lord Almighty, not only are they filthy most of the time if you put them under a black light, but that's the least thing you have to worry about, is there's a lot of other people's energy in there. So for me, myself, what I do, if I'm going to a strange place or a hotel or motel, whatever, first thing I do is Reiki the room and Reiki the bed. And if you don't have Reiki, take some sage with you and do a clearing on the room. I mean, if ever you needed to do a clearing anywhere, I would think a hotel room is probably one of the best places. You know, Michael, here in California, they have a very famous haunted hotel, Hotel Del Coronado. And it's known for being haunted. And I thought it was a BS story myself until I went there for a three-day vacation. And they had the old part of the hotel and they had the new part of the hotel. But where you had to check in was in the old part of the hotel. And I'm waiting in the reception area. And I'm looking around, my eyes are darting everywhere. And I mean, the place was laden, heavily laden with spirits. They were everywhere. Okay. And the kid behind the counter says to me, do you want a room in the old section or the new section? And I told him, I want a room in the new section because I'm not working this weekend. Because I can see them so clearly. And I knew that they have a way of sensing when you know they're there. And they cling on to you. And I made a promise to myself, these are my days off. I'm not dealing with any spirits in or out of bodies. So for people that say these places don't exist, well, I would suggest you all take a little trip to Hotel Del Coronado and find out for yourself.
Absolutely. And it's frightening to think that the process takes place whether we are aware of these souls or not.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the people we meet on a physical level will be dragging around with them spirits who have some agenda.
Right.
And that is, that's a very frightening thought. And so we should learn to check ourselves and to, as you say, the guide reminded me, and it's my fault that I picked up the lady. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Picked up the lady. But that it's my fault that I picked up the lady in the first place because
I
got tired.
Sometimes we forget.
And forgot.
All right. Sometimes we just forget. Listen, my friends know the last place that I ever want to walk into is an antique store. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
I tell them, you know, those things, they got all kinds of spirits stuck to them, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times people don't realize that they can get a gift, they can, you know, whatever, and then all of a sudden they don't understand why they feel like crap. But, you know, to me, even if you went into a crystal store to buy a crystal or a certain stone, that's got to be cleansed before you bring it into your living space.
Yes.
Because you don't know who's touched it, where, you know, if it was taken from the earth in a sacred manner or not. And you could be opening up a big can of whoop-ass on yourself. Michael, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to delve back into From Here to Infinity. Because this book has so much great information in it. And it's like an hour is never enough time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Does this world get you down? Are you living your bliss? Tired of therapies that don't offer you any real direction or answers? Did you know that Maria does personal life coaching sessions? Save thousands of therapy dollars and get the direction and answers you need to live an authentic life based on your own personal blueprint for this life. All this typically in just one private session with Maria, not countless hours on a couch. Maria combines her professional experience, life experience, and her heredity intuitive gifts to get you back on track. Email Maria today for an appointment. At maria@maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A at M-E-R-I-A.net. Get on with the best life you can possibly have. Check out the other side of this happy, loving, passionate woman at www.mariaheller.com and avail yourself of the best coaching around, all in the privacy of your home via the telephone. Gift yourself with yourself. Make an appointment today. Write maria@maria.net.
Welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Reikia. Check out his work at josephspeaks.com. I can't tell you how many people I refer to that website for real spirituality. I see so much crazy supposed spiritual stuff on social media. Some of it actually makes me laugh out loud. But this is the real deal. So check it out. And let's get back to your book. One of the big things, and it was going around for a while, I think David Icke had a lot to bring this information out. But when we talk about the moon, Joseph has entirely, not so much entirely different, but a different take on it. And I'm thinking about what you say on page 60 about the moon. Does the moon not exist? Is it real? Is it not? Why is it there? Is it solid? What?
Yeah.
So what about the moon?
Well, there's a theme. One of the themes of From Here to Infinity is the nature of reality and the nature of going somewhere. And Joseph explains that we don't actually really go anywhere, that experience comes to us. I remember my spiritual teacher mentioning her again, Joan, who used to say to me, look, if people fall out of an aeroplane, of course there's been a recent event, hasn't there, a terrible event, that they don't really go anywhere. The experience has come to them. And so Joseph says, look, there is a moon out there. Of course there's a moon out there, as long as you believe there's a moon out there. And you created it originally, because as angelic beings, that is what you do. You create spheres. You create, again, as a worship of God, an image of God within which you operate. And so you create spheres. You created the earth originally. And some people will say, blasphemy. God created the earth. Well, of course he did, because we are God. We are part of God. But as angelic children, that is what we do. It is our nature to create. But what we create so that it can gain us experience for no other reason. We create things to have fun, but that is an experience. We create things to learn and to evolve. Those are experiences. And once we have experienced all that we can experience from one of the spheres that we have created, we either then move on from that sphere to allow other angelic children to move through that sphere and to experience, or we fold it away. And it's as simple as that. So the moon is there as long as we want it to be there. It is solid as long as we want it to be solid. But how do you define solid? At the moment, Maria, I'm touching a table, and my hand senses that there is a solid surface to this table. But on a spiritual level, there isn't. Mm-hmm. If I changed my consciousness to a spiritual level totally at this point, I would see the table as pinpoints of light, a lattice of light. I would see my hand as a lattice of light. And I would be able to put one lattice of light through another lattice of light, dependent on how solid or how malleable I wanted each lattice of light to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the wonder of what we are. And there are so many scenarios that we can enact with and go through. This material world is only one of them. And the moon is there for a purpose. The moon is there as the other spheres in our sphere of influence are there to actually bring into, as it moves, as it rotates, as it moves around the earth, to bring into being those experiences that originally we wished to experience. It's distorted now, of course, because of the effects of the field.
Right.
But this gigantic machine that has no electrical parts in it and doesn't need oiling is something that we created as an expression of ourselves and an expression of the desire to experience certain things.
Well, I guess you could say the same thing about the entire universe.
Absolutely.
Because if you really understand that all of this reality is an illusion, then none of it's real in the tangible way, you know, see, touch, smell.
Yes, and we can take ourselves back. There must be listeners now who, in meditation, have experienced the strangeness, initially, of sensing that they don't exist as a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Because meditation, if you sort of opt out of this physicality for a while, in true, pure meditation, God meditation, takes you away from this form, or takes you into an ability to distance yourself from the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can distance yourself from the mind. It's not that you don't exist anymore, it's just that you exist in a different consciousness. And then you can keep altering your consciousness until you exist without form at all. And you know that you still exist. You know that you interact with things, but you don't have any form at all. And that is your true form. But from that form, you can bring through whatever form you want. You can bring through, in your spiritual state, your angelic form. You can bring through, as Joseph says on certain spheres, light. You just wish to exist as a sphere of light. It is up to you. It is an expression of what you are. But what you are is no physical thing, is nothing.
Right.
And that's wonderful.
Right.
Because if you are nothing, then you cannot not exist. Because on a physical level, everything is brought into being, decays, and then goes out of being, becomes something else. But if you are no thing, you are not party to that process. So you are eternal. You are infinite. You are apart from the cycle of life and death. And that's a wondrous, wondrous thing to explore and to understand.
Right. Well, right now it seems, and I think it's just timely too, it seems to be seasonal that a lot of people are leaving the planet. But I often wonder if it's not just seasonal, like some people wait, you know, for the holiday season to leave the planet. But do you think it could be because they don't want to experience the collapse of the field or afraid of what the future may hold?
That's a very interesting question. I think that a lot of people, because of the effects of the field, and because of what we've been talking about this evening, with regard to hotel rooms, strangely enough, where we connect to people, or people connect to us and begin to drain our energies, I feel that people just get tired. And I feel that they may have picked up someone here and another influence there, and there will be a connection to someone that they're worried about here and a connection to a health problem there, and they run out of energy. And I feel at this time of year, when the energy dips for this half of the earth, then there are many people who cannot keep up what they see as being a struggle. And every so often, I'm sure you do it too, Maria, I go into meditation and I look at things that I haven't put away. And I look at things that I need to forgive. Forgive myself for, forgive others for. I look at things that I need others to forgive me for. And I send out energy into those directions. And I break whatever ties are there that are still tying me to negativity, to upset, to a drain of energy. And it's surprising how that allows you to build up the energy in your physical body and physical mind again to repair yourself. As to whether people go at a certain time, I'm sure that, yes, they do say, I've had enough. I'm sure a lot of people on the earth say, I've had enough. The earth is such a cruel place. It's such a violent place. I've had enough. I don't think we should do that. I think we should examine our potential and say, well, I've had enough, but there are a lot of people here who could do with the help that I can bring them. And so whilst I'm here, whilst I'm on this journey, I'm going to bring light in. I'm going to try and change things. I'm going to make a difference on behalf of those souls. You see, we're all linked. And to go back to what we were discussing earlier, some of us will escape and will move on because we've discovered the afterlife and examined it and want to go on into it. But we don't truly escape because we're still linked as angelic children to the other angels who fell. And that's why, for example, Joseph comes back. He's often said, look, I could go through that trapdoor myself into infinity, but I can't because there's too much of a pull to the people who still remain. And there is still the chance to make a difference. So I suppose what I'm saying is if people are feeling depressed at this time or are feeling that they can't keep going, is to re-energize themselves by having a look in meditation of what aspects of their life they need to let go of, and then to think, well, what can I do that's positive? I feel so depressed. What's positive? What can I do? What is positive is to remember who you are, is to remember your potential, and to remember your potential for love and change on behalf of others. And that will sustain you through the winter months.
Well, well said. Well, you can, other thing you can do is hibernate like a bear through the winter. Well, you know, I was happy to read, reread, should I say, and I believe it starts at around page 80 in the book on perspectives, when you talk about being able to heal and to return home during sleep, that sleep time is a time of great potential.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, ever since I was a kid, I prefer sleeping to being awake, and I still do. I go to so many wonderful places there, and then I wake up, and I'm like, oh no, I'm back here. Can you expand a little bit on how we can return home during the sleep state?
Yes, and perhaps some listeners won't like what I'm going to say. First of all, we mustn't bog ourselves down materially and heavily. And so it's not a good idea to go to bed with too much food in your stomach. Mm-hmm. It's not a good idea to go to bed with too much alcohol in your veins. It's certainly not a good idea to go to bed with drugs in your system. Because then you are tying yourself in, you're pulling yourself in. I mean, you and I know, Maria, in the work that we do, if we've been in a trance-like state or a high level of consciousness state, what we do is eat. And we eat because the body pulls in our energies to deal with the food. So if we have a hearty meal, it pulls us back in from wherever we've been. So it pulls me back from a trance state and my consciousness alters and comes down to the earth level again.
Well, it grounds
and,
you.
We're locking ourselves back into the physical. So one of the keys to going to spiritual realms at night is to not lock ourselves into our physical bodies too much. And of course, we can pollute them with the materials I've just mentioned, but we can also pollute them with our thoughts. You know, it's difficult, but many of us are worried about things before we go to sleep. We're worried about the next day. Let the next day take care of itself. We're worried about the people that we love, that we care for. Well, I'm not saying let them take care of themselves, but we're in a far better position to help them through illness or through worry or through loss if we have gone to the spiritual realms during our sleep to be able to recharge ourselves and also gather wisdom from our spiritual family and from our guides. And so it's a case of abandoning the day at the end of the day. It's a case also of having intent and wanting to go to the spiritual realms to refresh ourselves, to meet those people that have gone ahead of us, to receive instruction and lessons. Like you, Maria, I've gone to some wonderful places. There is this wonderful arena in and I'm sure it's one of many, in one of the spiritual spheres, where there is a lectern in the center. And it's a huge place. It looks rather homely until you try and discern just how many souls are sitting around the sort of tiers of seats of this arena. Mm-hmm. And into the center come these wonderful beings, some from the level that the arena is on, some from higher levels of spirituality, and they lecture in love, and they talk in love, and people are enwrapped. And you take in this wonderful information that fills you with light, with treasures of spiritual reality. And then you return to this place. And surely somewhere like that is worth going to. Now, don't always think, listeners, that you will remember where you've been. But one of the indications that you might have, probably will have, if you've gone out during the night to one of the spiritual realms, is that you feel that part of your night is missing. the whole of your night should be missing because you've become unconscious and you've been dreaming, you've been asleep. But this is different. It's as though part of you has existed outside of time for a time. And it may be that you cannot access those memories, but they are there subconsciously. They are there as part of your spirit. So ask and prepare yourself at night. Don't bog yourself down. And then you can go home for a time each night and refresh yourselves.
All right. You can actually ask before you go to sleep to remember what it is that you're experiencing while you're in those other places. We'll call them other places, which I have to tell you, 99% of the time are way better than here. So I constantly remind myself at least once during the day, never come back, never come back. I'm trying to really program that into my awareness for sure. Another question I wanted to ask, is the veil between dimensions thinning? It just seems so many more people are having experiences filming UFOs. I think about the ghost cities they saw over China a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how else to ask that question. Is the veil thinning between dimensions?
My feeling is that as the field becomes thicker, then what it contains becomes more of a oneness. Our perception of time, of course, is based on a linear model, and that's not the case at all, is it? The better way to explain it would be that we are looking at a series of experiences that pass before us, and we select which of those experiences is in the now as we experience it. So I feel that everything is a tape recorder for what has happened to it. We've talked about crystals, we've talked about hotel rooms. And again, I think we have a theme here in that parts of the earth, the whole of the earth, and our houses and our streets and our roads and the earth beneath them have recorded what has happened to them at certain times as we see time. And I think as the amount of energy to maintain a now in a linear fashion diminishes, then we are seeing this overspill of recorded history into what we conceive of as now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does make sense. One of the other pleasant things that you mention in this book is that people that you're in harmony with are part of yourself.
Yes.
And I often refer to the show and pretty much everybody in my life as my soul group. You know, anybody yes. listening, anybody who's a guest, you know, we're all the same soul group. But I really like this because it makes you stop and think, you know, when I was a kid, my mother used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you what you are. And this is another way of looking at it when you say that people that you're in harmony with are part of yourself. Now, do you mean that as part of your soul? Or just a part of you or your soul group?
I think we have to get back to what we really are. And what we are is an aspect, a viewpoint of God. At its simplest, we are a viewpoint of God. So if you consider that everyone on earth and everyone throughout the universe, all the angelic children, are viewpoints of God, then aside from that viewpoint, they are the same thing. They are an emanation from the God center. We also attract to ourselves that which is dominant in the way that we view the world. So we attract like-minded souls, we attract like situations, we attract material situations that are current with how we view the world. So we are all the same thing. There is no separation. What we experience with those people that we feel are part of our soul group is a remembrance of that. We've forgotten it. I mean, I'm looking out of the window now. It's a dark night, but there are people going by. Those people are part of me. Ultimately, they are me, and I am them, because we are both part of the same God. We are both viewpoints of God. And so it's important that we recognize that the friends in our lives are very important and are a reflection also of ourselves, as you've said. If you want to see anything that needs repairing in yourself, look to your friends.
Exactly. Exactamundo. Well, Michael, any parting words? We only have like a minute left. Any advice as we approach the holiday season?
Well, it's a season when we give trinkets, isn't it? I mean, we give them with the best of intentions. We give them with love. But those trinkets can never maintain the people that we give them to in a state of happiness as the gift of love and harmony can. So I think we should, at this time of year, when we select those presents, we should infuse them with all our love and all our light and the wish that the person in the following year be illuminated and remember who they are And then we're giving a true present. We're giving them the gift of light. We're giving them the gift of evolution. We're giving them the gift of remembering that they are angelic beings. And that's far better than a new pair of pants or a TV or a car.
Right.
All those things will pass.
Right.
But what we need to discover now, or the present we need to give people, is the present of being able to remember who we are and our link to God.
Well
and,
said.
And all the very best to all of you for the holiday season. God you, bless you all.
You too, Michael. Thanks so much. And I guess I'll talk to you next year.
Absolutely. We're back in February, isn't it?
January.
January, that's fine.
All right, well, I'll get in touch with you before that. Take care.
Bye. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Check out Michael's work at josephspeaks.com. And always, you know, trust your intuition too. Do your everybody's spiritual journey, believe it or not, is still an individual one. I know what works for me. Sometimes I can help you in a session figure out what works for you. Anyway, that's today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow I'll be back with the news, and I will see you guys then. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.